Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to Hardly Initiated. It is your host, Tyshawn Jackson, in here with my co-host, Ryan Ketchins, and the prophetess, inside joke. But we are in here going to be breaking down for you today the agreements that's keeping you single. Let's get to it. Welcome to Hardly Initiated. It is your host, Tyshawn Jackson, my co-host, Ryan Ketchins.
I can already tell, man. It's going to be a powerful one right here.
You need to watch, too.
I discovered porn when I was a child, my mom.
To get that white man's option out of his pursuit, me, I ran.
The blood I want, don't care.
This is dope.
You need to have a threesome.
There you go. When you miss God, man. Welcome, welcome, Wednesday night family. The initiates are in the building. Sometimes just before certain episodes, I got the pregame jitters just because I know what kind of show it's going to be. And today, family, it is that kind of show. Ryan, you feeling it?
Yeah, so Tiff, he been hyping this one up for a minute, at least a few weeks.
I have.
Yeah, and Tyshawn, he's usually on the prep, like how much we got to prep before the show. He's like, bro, we don't got no prep. She all gas, no brakes.
Guys, I have nothing prepared, but everything is already prepared at the very same time because we got this powerful sister. Mm-hmm. Many of y'all know you already know because I've seen the comments all over social media. Already very excited for the sister we have
the
in
chat
here.
Is literally popping right now.
We are in here rocking with Tiffany Montgomery. Welcome to Hardly Initiated. It's a Thank blessing
you.
To have you.
Thank you for having me.
Why is everybody so excited to hear you speak tonight? You know something. Don't hit me with that. Y'all, she got powers. All right? This is a powerful sister here. You know, she was really... I respect Tiffany so much because I was telling Tiffany prior to the show, you know, some people, you know, can talk about things on a high level. But y'all, this going to be a pen and pad kind of night. Mm. Because the way Tiffany talks, the way she breaks things down, it's going to be nuanced to the T. And this is an incredible message that we have prepared for you guys. She actually has an incredible book that's going to be releasing. We're going to be telling you about it because we have something special for my initiates that hang around to the end of the show.
The very end.
So make sure you hang around. We're doing something very special, a special giveaway to my initiates. Because Tiffany's doing something big. She's releasing something very powerful. Just know it is the year of the bride. And tonight she's going to break down covenants, agreements that you might have right now that you don't even know is keeping you single. And I'm excited to get to it. Very excited. But before we get into
it. That prayer got us popped off too.
The prayer,
got it nice and covered.
That's oh, right. Yeah. All you demons, it's done for you. It's done for you, demons, all right? Yo, let's get to the episode sponsor so we can get to the show.
So this is crazy, guys. So we've been sending out a ton of emails because we get so many replies, right? So one of the things that I've been doing, I've been sending a few emails wanting to actually speak to our initiates. And what I've been finding out over these 10 to 15 minute conversations that I'm having is so many people, it's not just problems with dating, is problems with connecting with other people in general. Mm-hmm. So I want to show y'all this real quick. So one of our very own initiates, guys, he actually emailed us. He wanted to send over his testimony. Now, I don't know if you guys seen this before, but Brian is his name. Now, Brian actually wanted to go out with his coworkers to celebrate a big win. He thought it would be a super dope idea to bring the Hardly in Love dating cards game with him. And this is the thing, guys. He told me that, or he told us via email, that he was able to get some depth and get that serious connection with his coworkers using the dating cards, which I think is amazing.
Incredible.
So this is what I'm going to do, guys. So this is the thing. I highly recommend these Hardly in Love dating cards, especially because Tyshawn and myself are actually the creators for these. Listen, this is all genuine love and idea that we put into these cards.
A lot of study.
So this is what I'm going to do. Game 15, that's GAME15. I'm going to actually drop that in the chat right now so you can get 15% off your own, 15% off your very own order of Hardly in Love dating cards.
There you have it, family. The link is there in the description. Go ahead and have a good time with your people. We have done it for you. And let's actually get to what I have been excited for this whole month. Ever since we got the email where Tiffany said, yes, I'm coming on, I've been excited. All right? And tonight is the night. So let's actually get straight into it. Because, you know, before the show, I called you to get an idea of where we wanted to take this conversation. And you sent me one of the most intimidating videos I've ever seen in my life. It was a 25-part series that you did. The Year of the Bride. I swear, each one of these, I mean, minimum hour, each video. I mean, going in. There's no guests. There's no commercial breaks. It's just straight going in, all right? And it's very heavy, the message you were delivering. First of all, where did that message come from, you know, what inspired you to put that together?
Yeah, so every year I ask God what the next year is going to have, right? Like every single year I go to God and say, what's coming up next year? I am of the thought that if you're a believer of Jesus Christ, you're never in the dark, right? Nothing should be flying up under your prophetic radar. So I ask God, what is this year, you know, ensue? And in December of 2022, I think it was, he said, it's going to be the year of the bride. And this was a two-part word. It was about the bride in Christ, right? God making sure that his church or his ecclesia was washed and cleansed and ready for him.
Yeah.
And it was also about the supernatural marriages that were going to take place. Now, I've been on social media for years. Like, before I got saved, I was a 7-time Essence Magazine bestselling author because I was writing hood books. Don't look them up.
Wow.
You was writing hood books?
Don't look them up. I'm just telling you for the sake of the story. For the sake of the story. That's just to let you know how long I've been online, MySpace, like all of the things. And I've never talked about relationships. I've never talked about marriages. Like, that just was never my thing. I always wanted to just stick to entrepreneurship. When I got saved in 2015, I switched it to entrepreneurship and God. But it was never a time where, I mean, if I started a relationship platform, I would make a million in a day.
Do numbers. Like,
for sure. I would for sure do numbers. I'm still not interested, right? So when I heard God say that this was going to be the year of the bride, or that specific year, I was like, please, God, find somebody else to do it. Like, anybody except for me. And the reason I said that was because I have a heavily woman-based audience. And I knew that these women were going to want to get married. They were, I didn't want any parts of their delusion of wanting to. Oh, sorry. My bad. I didn't want any parts of their delusion. And so God ended up making me do it anyway. And it was very, very, very powerful. I can dive into why, though. Do you want me to dive in?
Well,
real quick, because we have, you know, quite a few guests that have that spiritual foundation, a spiritual background. And I've heard plenty of people mention God said. So what exactly does it mean when you say that God said this?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have different God says.
Okay.
Yeah. And so you have some people that say, God said, this is my husband, right? And then you have like 20 people saying that God said that that person was their husband, the same person. But somebody didn't hear God, right?
Right. God tells a lot of people.
First of all, Laterris came on here. He literally said, it's women moving to Dallas and saying that God told them to move.
Yeah.
So who was this voice?
Yeah. So sometimes it's the voice of idolatry. right? Whenever you've made something an idol or it becomes your God, that thing starts to talk to you. You begin to see like your God, talk like your God, listen like your God, perceive like your God, because God is no longer your God. This idol has become your God. And we know from, I think it's in Psalms 115, he says, those that make idols, I'm going to turn you into the idol that you made.
Damn.
And so they're hearing the word of their idols. Also in Ezekiel, somebody in the chat can put it in there. He said, I'm going to give you over to the idols of your heart. This is what you want. As a matter of fact, when you're looking for a prophet to send you a prophetic word and confirmation, I'm going to send the prophet to tell you the word that you wanted to hear out of the abundance of your heart. So it's very dangerous not to continually be killing idols in your heart, because God already said, I'm already going to turn you into them. That's why they believe that they heard a voice tell them to do that, because it's probably true. They did hear a voice. It was likely a spirit. It just happened to be a familiar spirit and not the Holy Spirit. And now they are in confusion and bound until they break that idolatry, right? So it's deep. It's like they're not lying when they say they heard it. Now, me, I'm a fruit inspector. I'm also a pattern recognition specialist. I made that up.
Okay. Because I was going to ask, pattern recognition specialist.
I watch patterns in lives. I watch patterns in conversations. I watch patterns in history. Like, I'm just a pattern buff, right? Like, I love patterns. I love looking at, I'm fascinated by patterns, especially when you get, like, if you see, like, in your bloodline right now, I don't know if anybody has any sicknesses, but what would you say would be, like, the
three? High blood pressure.
That's right. That's a pattern. But until people recognize it, you're like, okay, this isn't just a...
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Physical thing, this is a spiritual thing. Like, that's a pattern, and you have to break the pattern. But when we're dealing with these idols and idolatry, people don't know that. So I'm a fruit inspector. You can tell me that you heard God. You can tell me that somebody is a great apostle, the great prophetess, the great prophet, and you can say they heard God. I'm never going to believe it until I test the fruit. I'm just not. I'm going to test if what you said lined up with the word of God. If what you say does not line up with the word of God, you're a liar. Romans 3:4 says, let God be true and every man be a liar. So everything that you say should line up with the word of God. It should also bear witness with the Holy Spirit that I have. I'm also a very big advocate. I have a ministry that God gifted me with called Covered by God. And we are praying, fasting ministry. We're prophetic and teaching ministry. And I teach the hundreds and thousands of followers that we have, do not listen to anything I say if it goes against the word of God. My goal is to build bolder believers. And ultimately, I want a generation of Bereans who are going to go behind me. If they say they trust me, I still want you to go behind me and say, even though I trust Tiffany, I want to make sure what she's saying is true. Because if I can get you to test if what I'm saying is true, I can get you to test if what everybody else is saying is true as well. Yeah. That way, you're not falling for false prophets. You're not falling for people who are lying to you online. You know, it doesn't matter if you can raise the dead or you can cure cancer or you can do a miracle, right? Because witch doctors can do that. Mm. They do that all the time. So we're not impressed by, you know, the works of miracles and wonders and signs and all of that stuff. We're not impressed by that. We're only impressed by fruit. That's the only thing we judge anything off of. We're not impressed by how you dress. We're not impressed by what you look like. We're not impressed by how great an orator you are. We're not impressed by your great biblical knowledge, because Satan also knew the Bible and, as a matter of fact, tempted Jesus with it. We don't care about anything that you have to say. We're not impressed by the numbers you draw on with the crowd. We're not impressed by how big your church is. We're not impressed by how much money you have. I test fruit. I'm a fruit inspector. And when your fruit is rotten, I'm going to try to tell everybody about it.
Wow. So these patterns, because I remember when I was hearing you tell me about this, because we have patterns that we experience in generationally.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we have patterns that we have on a day-to-day basis.
And
in
we're
our
failing
lives.
An open book test. Let's be clear. You see patterns. When you saw what happened with the pandemic, that happened with the Spanish flu.
Right.
Like they told them to wear masks. They told them not to take their masks off. Like this, we're failing an open book test. Like, how stupid does a generation have to be failing an open book test? You just refuse to open up the book that has all the answers in it. The Bible is not without the answers. And then you have people that are like, well, what about the lost books? Why are you reading lost books when you refuse to read the found ones? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you doing over there when you're not over here? Like, you just walk in a very dangerous territory. But yeah, the patterns are in the book. And if you could figure that out, we're literally failing an open book test because we refuse to open the book.
Now we see, listen, I get emails, DMs, and a lot of these patterns seem to be very similar, where you bring in the same ratchet behind man in your life.
Absolutely.
My brothers, they over here getting straight disrespected.
Your brothers are?
Oh, yeah.
What, and, man?
Oh, they're in relationships getting.
They getting beat?
Disrespected. Now, see, a lot of times if a man getting beat, he just ain't even got the cojones. He don't even want to tell nobody that.
That's true. Don't laugh neither. Did he you don't laugh? Wanna, right. That's what the laugh. That's
yeah,
not
no, that's insensitive.
That's
yeah.
sometimes
yeah,
it's that happens.
Sensitive.
Yeah.
It's sensitive. Yeah. Yeah, but come on now. But see, a lot of them are having the same issues and these same patterns.
Yeah.
With these toxic behind relationships.
Absolutely.
That we are having. Our parents probably did not have a successful relationship either.
Absolutely.
I don't know about their parents. You feel what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So now this is a toxic pattern. So when we start to recognize these types of patterns in our lives, and it's a disconnect with what we want, because we want love, right? We want connection. We want family. We want these things. The vision we have, it just
well,
ain't
you want
to
what you
happening.
Think is love. Mm. Yeah, people don't necessarily want love. They want what they think is love. That's why when they get love, they tend to walk away from it because they don't have the capacity for the well that love brings in. So you want what you think is love. That's why they say what you said wasn't loving. Well, whose standard? Because God's love rebukes. God loves corrects. God love doesn't feel good at first because it changes you. Most people want to remain the same. So you want lust. You want what you think is love. But most people don't want love.
Wait, so what is love when it comes from another being, like another person?
Yeah. It's all of those things, right? It's when you get with somebody, the goal is to become the better version of who you are. The goal is to always, like, you should never want to be with somebody that's content with who you are today, right? Like, we're always achieving to be a better version of ourselves. Most of the time, you can't even define that with your own eyes, because it's like you looking at a wall with no mirror. You can't see yourself. It's normally the person that comes in that can see you and say, hey, you know this is wrong with you. And you're like, no, I didn't notice that. I thought I was fine. They're like, yeah, no, you got to change that up. That's love, to say I demand a better you. But if somebody is not prepared for that demand, then they start thinking it's criticism, or I'm offended that you said that, or I don't like that you did that. Well, no, you just wanted a puppet, but you didn't want somebody that brought in real love, which is chastening, which is rebuking, which is loving, which is accepting, which is also challenging. You know what I'm saying? I should never accept you for being a jerk. You should strive to be better than that.
What if you met me one way and then, you know, some years later we're still involved in a relationship and then you want change?
My question always, no, it's not. My question always is, if you never change from who you are right now, could I marry you? And the answer, if I didn't like how you were, the answer would be no, right? If today you never changed past this moment, that's my thought. Could I marry you? And the answer is no. You want to know why? So many women email me and say, Tiffany, this person is mean. This person is abusive. This person is that. And I have the same answer. But you knew that before you got married to him.
Wow.
And I know that for sure. That's 10 out of 10. Every time the woman knew that he was like this before she got married to him. And I know that because we serve a good God. And even if you're not in right standing with God, he still looks at you like a daughter and a son. And he's never putting you in a position without giving you a red flag. The issue was you thought it was a carnival. You're like, oh, that looks like a fun circus over there. Let me go. We'll go to the festival, the Red Festival. I see some clowns I like. You know, right. It was just a fine clown. You liked him. You know what I'm saying? But he belonged to the streets. He was community. And you chose him. So now you have a baby with him. Now they not doing right by your baby. And now you're surprising. They don't want to see my baby. But you knew this was the kind of guy before you laid down and had sex with him. That's why the Bible says that the wages of sin are death. It's not necessarily a physical death you experience, but it's definitely a death of the last 10 years of your life that you wasted with somebody and you can't get back.
Wow.
Damn.
It's definitely a death of a relationship between daughter and father or daughter and son. It's a death between, it's a destiny destroying death. The wages of sin are death, and when you laid down, you got paid back with some type of death.
Damn.
So no, I would not take you how you were if I didn't like how you were at the time. And if you were unable to change how you were for the betterment of yourself and ultimately the betterment of my family, then you for the streets. Mm. You're not a man of God.
You for the what?
Streets.
She said for the, she said he was for the community.
Hey, for the community.
For the community.
I haven't heard that one. That's yeah.
So now here was one of the heaviest things. You know, we had big shout out to Apostle B. He came up in here and we did an episode talking about some of the covenants that most of us might be under. And we mainly spoke about the soul tie in that episode. Because, you know, that's one that I think for the most part we understand.
Yeah.
It's like the popular covenant.
For sure.
And, you know, we're still running into it. That don't help us not being in it.
That's right.
But I think when you were breaking these things down to me, there are these other covenants, patterns that we have to break that we might not even know exist.
For sure.
And that's what's so scary and what's so heavy about this world, because that's the thing about the spiritual world, is unseen, and you could just be in this pattern and in this flow and in this hamster wheel and not even know you on it.
Absolutely.
So what are some, you broke down idolatry just recently. Mm-hmm. Is that would be considered a covenant?
Yeah. So let me answer your question. You said something that I thought was very pertinent to what you're asking me now, which was you get a lot of emails from women saying they date the guys saying that they're dating the same person over and over and over again, and they can't seem to get rid of this toxic pattern. And I always say, do you ever notice that you date the same man or same woman, different face, and you're like, gosh, this seems so much like the last relationship. Why is this the same exact person? Well, there's a woman, I can't take her quote because I didn't make it up. Her name is Tiffany Buckner. And she said, most people now understand the term narcissism, right? This kind of a new term that people are using.
But they think they understand it.
Yeah, well, for the most part, they do, right? Like, people aren't stupid. Mm. So when they gather together, this is what this is. It is. It's actually very spiritual for Leviathan, which is the king of pride, and Jezebel, which is control and manipulation. So when you talk about narcissism and you really look at that personality disorder, it really is very synonymous with Leviathan, who's the king of pride, very stiff-necked, very all of those bad things, and then Jezebel, who's manipulation and control. With that being said, most people find themselves in relationships back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back with somebody with that kind of spirit, very mean, very controlling, right at the edge of what you think is breakthrough. Something happens, they break up with you, they're all of these bad things. And she said, this woman named Tiffany Buckner, she said, if you ever want to stop dating a narcissist, she said, kill idolatry. Your reward for idolatry is the narcissistic man or woman you're dating right now. That's your reward for it.
Wow.
The person you married, if you're like, Tiffany, my husband or my wife is narcissist, that was your reward for your idolatry, right? So then you're asking yourself, how did I get here? It's because, what is idolatry? Idolatry is anything that you love more than you obey God. Very simple.
Oh, so that you could be idolizing sex.
Everything can be idolized.
It could be a lot of things. Wow.
Oh my
everything.
Goodness.
Wow. Okay.
The thing about idolatry is everything can be idolized. Your job, money, relationships, marriage, children, desire for children.
Food.
Yourself. Food.
Social
media can be an idol. Anything that you love more than you obey God can become an idol. Anything, even yourself, right? And so the goal is to always be identifying idolatry. What is the point of idolatry? It brings false comfort, which now replaces the comforter, who is the Holy Spirit. Idolatry brings signs, miracles, and wonders, because most of the time it's empowered by a demon, right? Idolatry really wants the least of you. So God, who is a jealous God and only wants you to serve him, requires too much for you. He requires fidelity. He requires faithfulness. He requires honor. He requires submission. He requires fear and reverence. And he requires just you and him. Well, when you go to the Hindu religion, it's like thousands of gods. They're like, we have an open marriage. You can have sex with all of us. You can be intimate with all of us. You can make love to all of us. We don't mind. Just keep it in the family. You see what I'm saying? And so here, you now can serve this idol, because this idol or this God that you're worshiping doesn't require reverence, respect, faithfulness, honesty, all of that. You can just be out here. And so you have these people who say, I want this man, I want this woman, but then you somehow start to worship that person. Adam and Eve, I saw a quote that said Adam and Eve switched out their promise for sin. Like, they sinned to get the promise. And that's what many people do. You start having sex with somebody to get the promise, right? You start doing these things with somebody to get the promise, because you think that this is what's going to make this man marry you when he's for the streets. We are failing an open book test. You giving a man some pussy ain't going to make him marry you.
Why, you don't got to whisper. It's hardly initiated. You don't got to whisper.
See?
That's true, though.
He's not going to make him marry you. It's not. Never in the history of men and women is going to make a man marry you when you give him some pussy. It's just not going to happen. Mm. And don't y'all send me no email about saying the word pussy, because it ain't no bad word.
Wow.
Damn.
All is forgiven on Harley Initiated.
So anyway.
I really
got to
work this sound machine, because yeah. Tiffany going so crazy. I'm about to put two hands on it.
But you sin. Yeah, but you sin to get the promise. That's what made that person an idol, right? Yeah. And so an idol is only good for one thing. Disappointment. That's it.
Oh my God, that's such a good
Now give me 30 seconds. I'm gonna break this down. It's gonna blow y'all away.
Oh my God.
The word, okay, how you feel distracted sometimes?
Yes.
Okay, good. What does traction mean?
To get momentum, to get movement.
No, traction.
Traction?
Like, okay, I know what you're talking about. Grip.
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 Okay. It's grip.
Your traction. Well, I looked up the word dis. Dis was created from a Roman god that was called to separate you from that thing. Back in the medieval times, the French had something called death by distraction. They would put a horse on both your limbs, a horse on both your legs, and they would beat the horse, and it would distract your limbs from your body. It was called death by distraction.
Wow.
So essentially, whenever you say you feel distracted, what's happening is there is a spirit that is literally dismembering what you're supposed to be working on, right? What you're supposed to be hyper-focused on, and it's death by distraction. So whatever you're supposed to be working on is died. You with me?
Yes.
So the word dis means separate from. So if you look at the word disappointment, it sounds like an emotional term. But when you look up the word appointment by itself, it means an arrangement, a meeting, an engagement. It means like this time that you're supposed to do something. So now you have the word dis that's called to separate you from a meeting you were supposed to have. So if you have an idol in your life and is there to disappoint you because you're spending time with the wrong man or woman, you have now separated yourself from the meeting of the man or woman you were supposed to marry.
Oh my God.
Damn.
When you have that revelation,
right,
that you're not just disappointed. That person, when you make them an idol, the only thing they can ever do is disappoint you.
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards is the one-stop shop for huge savings on new energy-efficient appliances. We carry the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Nature of the idol. That's the only thing it can ever give you. Now that we have a revelation of the word disappointment, now we know that that idol is going to always keep you away from the appointment with your real husband or wife.
Oh my God.
Now to answer your question about soul ties. We know your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And if you didn't know, that's what it is. That's why I say your soul or your mind, your will, or your emotions is tied to somebody or something.
Is it or? Mind.
Will. And emotions.
Okay.
Gotcha. All three of those are the soul.
That's your
mind,
soul.
The will, and emotions.
That's it.
Wow. Okay.
So
that makes sense.
So look at this way. These are two people. They're super glued together. when you have sex. Now, you don't always have to have sex to somebody to have a soul tie, because it's your mind, your will, and your emotions. Mm. Oh. But a sexual soul tie is obviously one of the strongest.
Yeah.
So let's say these two people got, this is a two logs of wood super glued to each other. And guess what happens when you stop having sex with each other or you break up? This piece of wood is on here and this piece of wood is on here, even if you go your separate ways, oh, right? Man. And now you have this wood, they're fragmented. That's what happens with people. Now my soul is fragmented on this person who went on about their business, and their soul is fragmented on me. That's why Psalms 23:3 says, God restoreth my soul. There wouldn't be a reason to pray that prayer if your soul was always attached to you. Why does your soul need restoration or to be restored back to you if it wasn't fragmented into somebody else? And so here we have a generation of people who are fragmented and have other people's souls on them, because just because we live in this generation doesn't mean that the nature of sex still doesn't matter. What it means is when you were having sex with somebody in the Bible times, you are married to that person. That's just what it is. And so you have these people that are having sex all over the place, most of the time hypersexual, because you were molested or raped as a child. It brings some type of hypersexuality, promiscuity, most cases homosexuality, most cases lesbianism, most cases bestiality and things of that nature. Wow. People just think this is how I am. No, somebody raped you when you were 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's why you are how you are, right? This is not how you were born at all. And then the soul of that person is fragmented. Now you have holes in your soul. So that's what we talk about soul ties, is that your soul is tied to somebody else. And that's why you think how you think, you do what you do, you move how you move. It's because that man's soul or that woman's soul is tied to you.
And is this the case, any, like, regardless of how you feel about the other person?
Who cares how you feel? Your feelings don't, the spiritual world doesn't matter. Let me give you an example of how the spiritual world works. Let's say I'm sitting at a red light. And there's nobody coming this way, but I'm looking. You ever been there? I'm a big fan of running a red light.
I'll run.
If ain't nobody
now,
coming.
Ty is kings running stop signs at red lights. King no follows no traffic laws.
Right, right.
But, stick with me. Scared as hell. Like, I'm listening.
I feel like if I'm sitting here for 5 minutes, no car has come and the light is still red, I feel like I should run this light. That doesn't matter if a police officer is sitting right there and sees me run the red light. I broke a rule. I broke a law. In his rule book, I'm still going to have to go to court for that, even though I felt like I was justified in my decision. So you asked me a good question. What if you don't feel like, who cares about you, how you feel? Mm. We're talking about the rule book, which Minister Kevin Ewing came up with. He calls the word of God, the Bible, the rule book. I think that's fascinating when you have the perception of it that way. The rule book is what it is. Who cares how you feel? I feel like I should run a red light. You tell the police officer that when he pull over, I felt like I should have been able to do that. Okay, well, the rule book, my law says you can't. You go to court. Yeah,
I'm not going to lie. That, I mean, that entire breakdown, and we've covered soul ties many times.
Yeah.
But you got to hear things a few times sometimes, y'all. Like, it's important to have these conversations over and over again, because these are such complex situations and conversations that it might be one message that, you know, one way to hit you, like the example of the wood fragmenting, because quite frankly, I'd have used my wood wrong.
That's right.
Hella fragmented over there.
I'd have left splinters.
Yo, drop fragmented in the chat if you having the same issue Tyshawn having.
Look, fella, stop misusing your wood out here. But no, that was heavy.
Yeah.
How you broke that down, and that just even practically mm-hmm. can make sense in how you just can't have a clean escape Absolutely. From somebody sexually. And even if you emotionally get deep enough, that's why it's really, you really got to be careful just on even a non-intimate level.
Absolutely.
How you engage with people, even on a friend level, because Absolutely. Can you have a level of a soul tie with someone who's just a friend? Like
you can
a
make an
friend?
Idol out of a friend, out of a best friend, right? Because that person brings comfort that you now don't go to God for, because you go to the best friend for. That person brings rest and ease that only God should have been able to give you. So you can make an idol out of a friend, but you can also have an evil soul tie. Now, there are good soul ties, obviously, yeah. but you can definitely have an evil soul tie or demonic soul tie with a friend. Now, let's talk about blood covenants for a little bit.
Let's do that.
Yeah, so
and can you
break down what covenant?
Yeah.
Let me just do it in the simplest term. When you get married, you enter into a
covenant.
That's right. Very simple, right? Well, when you give your life to Christ, you enter into a
covenant.
That's right, class. New covenant. We're in the new covenant now, okay? So when you give your life to Christ, you are in a new covenant. It's just that simple. We're married. God is just like the same thing with your wife when you get one. Are you guys married?
No.
No.
Okay. Single. You're going to get married soon?
Soon? I don't know.
I mean, I'm going to get married.
I can't say soon, though.
Why not?
I mean, well, maybe after this show, you might, bro.
Nah. Not soon.
You got to be.
Soon?
Yeah.
You're not ready yet?
No. No.
We'll talk. Okay. I'm going to see if you're ready.
I don't want to say too much.
It's okay.
I don't want to say too much.
I get you. I feel you. We'll talk.
Yeah.
Because you need to be married.
I do need to be married.
Okay, we'll talk. No, yeah. You're going to get married. He's going to get married, guys. Just FYI.
It's been said.
I'm inspired.
It's been stated here. Harley initiated.
Yeah. I'm hella fragmented, though, too.
It's okay. It's an easy fix. Because you're not fixing it. God is.
Okay.
That's why we don't go to the repair man. I'm the repair man. God's the manufacturer. So you don't go to the repair man. You go to the manufacturer. He created you. So you go, easy fix.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Super easy fix. He's merciful. He is.
No, that's good news.
That's great news. He's super merciful. So here we have, okay. So when you get married, you are expecting your wife not to cheat on you. You're expecting your wife not to flirt, right, with men. You don't want her smiling up in everybody's face. Mm-mm. You're expecting your wife to be intimate with you.
Yeah.
You know, whatever your decision is, how many times you want a week or whatever you feel like intimacy is, which is not just sex, but it's also conversation, communication. You're expecting to have great communication. You're expecting to for her and you both to understand the order of the house and who's the man and who's the woman and, you know, not having that power struggle. Because everybody is operating in their position flawlessly. Those are your expectations. Well, God expects the same thing. He expects you to be faithful. He expects you to be able to be intimate with him and not lose your first love with him. He expects you to communicate with him, right? Like all those things. That's all a covenant is. It's just an agreement that you are going to now abide by these rules. That's what it is.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And so we have people that break that all the time. It's a contract you signed with God. A covenant is a contract and it's got signed in blood. When Jesus died on the cross, he signed it in blood and people breach that contract all the time. Right.
Right.
And so let's talk about blood covenants, for example. So let's say you had sex outside of marriage and the person broke your virginity. Well, you entered into a blood covenant when he had sex with you and broke your hymen.
Now, is a blood covenant any different than a regular covenant? Is it stronger?
Yeah, they're all, yeah.
Blood covenant for sure stronger.
Yeah,
it's a stronger covenant.
For sure amped.
Okay.
It's blood. Life cannot flow without blood. Like nothing, life is in the blood. That's why the blood shedding of Jesus Christ was so pivotal to the covenant being established, the new covenant being established. The blood of Jesus Christ is super powerful. So that's why the enemy has an opposite blood covenant that makes it as powerful. So if you have sex outside of marriage and that person breaks your hymen, you have entered into a blood covenant with the very first person you had sex with. This still also counts if you were raped or molested as a child.
Wow.
Because the spiritual rules don't matter just because somebody else did it. This is why you see so much molestation, rape, and incest through a bloodline. Mm. Because it thrives in silence. As long as nobody's talking about it, as long as nobody's going to say about it, you can guarantee it's going to touch your children. Guaranteed. It's a spirit.
Wow.
That so, is insane. Blood
covenant. The covenant. So, like, the covenant you have with God.
Yeah.
Is it automatic? Like, are you born with this covenant, or do you have to accept
God? You have to accept him.
Okay.
You have to make... The devil is the only person you can enter into a covenant with not knowing the rules.
Oh, okay.
He does not care if you know the rules, regulations, or laws. He's like, blind them, plug their ears up, you're in a covenant now.
Just sign right here.
Just sign.
You ain't got to sign.
That's right. Sign your soul over. God wants you to know this is the new covenant. This is what it's going to take. I want you to make a conscious decision that this is the covenant you want. He doesn't want anybody to come without their own. God does not want you. He doesn't want you to force his love. Like, make a decision to want me. The devil only wants you to come in blindly. Mm. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Are the consequences worse?
Absolutely.
For breaking a blood covenant?
Oh, for sure. So let me say this also. Blood covenants don't die because somebody 200 years ago in your bloodline died. Blood covenants don't die because your father or mother who made the blood covenant died.
Oh my God.
Blood covenants continue to live on until the person that recognizes it's there kills it.
Oh my God.
Exactly. Abortion is also a blood covenant. Whenever you sit on the table, lay there, and you allow them to kill that baby, and that blood sheds on the table, you have now entered into a blood covenant with Moloch. Moloch was a demon in the Bible associated with killing babies.
Hold on.
I didn't know they talk about that in the Bible.
Take your time.
Damn.
This is just really heavy right
when
now.
When you lay on the table.
Really heavy right now, y'all. Okay. So abortion automatically.
Absolutely.
Allows you to enter a blood covenant.
You murdered a baby.
With Moloch.
Moloch.
Now break this down for me.
Sure. So anytime you see a ritual being done, there has to be a sacrifice. Sometimes you see like goat, chicken, cow, all that type of stuff. They need a sacrifice. Well, when you lay down and had sex with somebody outside of marriage, then you had a ritual that was done. That was and the wages of sin are death. Remember that. So now you have a baby. Now you go and get it aborted, which is the sacrifice to that demon. Now, Moloch in the Bible was a sacrifice you made if you wanted like fame or platform or riches or something like that. You may say, well, I just got an abortion because I couldn't really afford to have a baby right now. Bingo. You just had an abortion for the money. You had an abortion. Well, I'm just really busy with work. You had an abortion for the platform.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's very simple. Mm. And so the covenant was made when the blood was shed during the death of that baby. In Genesis 4:10, he says, the blood of Abel cried out from the ground, right? Cried out from the ground against his brother. So we know that blood that is dead, Abel's gone now, but the blood is crying out from the ground to curse his brother. We can only imagine how many babies that we've murdered are crying out against us as a nation, as a bloodline, or as an individual. We even know in the book of Revelations, he says that the martyrs who are dead and in heaven are still saying to God, when is judgment going to render for the people that killed us? So we do know that blood can cry out against you from the ground. The good news for us is we have Hebrews 12 that says that the blood of Jesus Christ speaks better things than the blood of Abel, which means that the blood of Jesus can silence the voice of those babies you murdered. But in order to know all of that, you have to have a revelation that you made that blood covenant.
Hold on, wait, 1 second here. So let's back up. So the blood covenant, is it for both the man and the woman?
For sure.
So even if, because the man was involved in that sexual act, he's also.
He's in it.
And what?
Because the wages of sin are death. So you sin to have sex with this person. Now, this is not for those of you, because I know people in the comments are going to say, what about DNC? I'm not talking about none of that. What about a miscarriage? And you got that the baby's already dead. So I'm not talking about none of that. I'm not talking about any of that. What about plan B? You having sex outside of marriage anyway. You shouldn't be taking that as well. Like, you can't make all these provisions for the sin. The wages of the sin is death. That's just as simple as it is. You can't get more clear than that. So even if the man doesn't know that that person had an abortion, because what did I say? The devil doesn't care about you knowing.
It don't matter.
He just wants you involved in the covenant, because you were supposed to have sex in the boundary of marriage. And the boundary keeps you safe. If you have sex outside of the boundary, then all types of covenants can be made behind your back.
Just rules of the
game.
So what's the rules to engagement.
Consequences. What do consequences associated with that, with that covenant? What are some of the things you might see happen in your life?
Oh, blood covenants, cancers, anti-marriage curses, delays in your bloodline, the spirit of infirmity in your bloodline, divorce, separation, abuse, incest, molestation, rape, all of that, it comes about because of blood covenants. I don't know if you remember when you were little. I don't know if you guys did this. I know many people did, though. You had a cousin in the neighborhood or a friend in the neighborhood. You're like, I want to be your cousin. And you like kind of cut your arm. You're like, we blood cousins now.
Oh, hell no.
No, we ain't do
but
that.
But a lot of people did.
We ain't do that.
I don't know what neighborhood you grew up in.
We grew up in the hood.
Right.
But they was doing that in the hood. Like, if
what
they
I seen
to,
was probably like,
blood cousin.
I seen like spit like... And like that, but yeah. And that was even extreme. I wasn't even with that, but I've seen.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny because movies all depict these
you
different
went in,
things.
You yeah. went into the bathroom with the lights on. You was calling out Bloody Mary.
That's or John Wick. Remember John Wick? Whenever
oh,
they made
full of
they,
blood covenants,
they would cut their
yeah.
hand.
Yeah. Or no, you would have some, to give some up level, a finger. Some level of that. Yeah. Yeah. Sickness.
So this is so it's crazy because should I is that's not, now all of a sudden that's like an important question to figure out if I'm dating. Should I know?
If you ever had
if
an abortion.
If a woman has had an abortion?
Oh, before. Yeah, for sure. And you just want to go ahead and assume yes. And if not yes, you want to assume somebody in her bloodline did that's still active on the bloodline. So you want to just make sure that you have a prayer, that you're praying if you're considering her for marriage, to say, let's go ahead and start breaking these covenants and so that it's not going to fall on us or our... Now, you remember when I know we don't really get relaxers anymore, but remember when girls used to get perms?
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to actually get a perm back in the day. Right. I did.
You getting a perm?
Dead ass. I used to get a perm. Mama told me to get a perm. I had a little tail. I had a little tail going down all the way to the middle of my back.
That's okay. So
I had a little ball fade with the perm at the top.
Light skin activity, y'all.
Right. Like, light skin. Yo, I'm going to bring that photo for the next show.
Okay. So I'm glad you can relate.
Yeah, I can relate.
So remember when it started to burn?
Yep.
What did they come with? The neutralizing shampoo. Mm-hmm. And the neutralizing shampoo stopped the chemicals from burning your scalp. Well, the blood of Jesus Christ acts as neutralizing shampoo to the consequences of those curses coming to burn your bloodline. So good.
You need that blood of Jesus.
For sure.
So okay.
So everything that's on the way to you and your wife that you didn't know to break is on the way. Covenants are real, whether you believe in them or not. Whether you agree with them or not, who cares? Unless you apply the blood of Jesus Christ, unless you have given your life over to God, unless you are in the new covenant with God, unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you use the blood of Jesus Christ to now stop the consequences of those curses from hitting your bloodline, then you're screwed.
First of all, so every time you have sex,
outside of marriage,
that's
you're screwed. The wages of that is death.
So okay, so you just add into that. Covenant.
Yeah, the wages of it are death.
Let me ask you this. So sure. You talk about the covenant with God,
yeah.
Right? So let's say I'm a person who I don't necessarily identify that I have a relationship with God or that I'm religious or I'm not in the church kind of deal, but I know that I should be with God. I know I should have a relationship with God, but I just, for whatever reason, I avoid it, maybe because of some trauma from the past, maybe just comfort. Do I still technically have a covenant with God?
No.
Okay. So I have to.
It's a marriage.
Got
Don't
you.
Forget that. It's a marriage. So now say what you said with husband and wife or with dating. Like, I really see this girl, but she's not convinced that I'm hers.
Okay.
And do I still consider her my wife?
No.
She doesn't like you.
So what do I have then? I'm just.
Situation.
You have nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. You have
entanglement.
Nothing. You have the mercy of God to hope that. His mercy reaches you before it's too late, but
gotcha.
You have nothing. You have no guarantee. You have no promise. You have nothing. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You have nothing.
It's
Ryan.
Like, it's
Ryan,
like, but just keep it in mind. It's like dating. It's like you saying there's this girl I really like, Tiff, but she's not really feeling me, but she knows I'm here. She knows I exist, but she's just not. I'm like, bro, she's for the streets.
Yeah. That's not you.
Leave her.
Right.
That's not. Yeah. She's not interested. God is the same way.
This is so heavy because when I'm thinking about it, the likelihood that, first of all, I've caused hell in my lifetime based on what you're saying. So it's funny because I remember we talked about abortions when Queen of Fool came on here and it was heavy. I remember.
I financed many an abortion.
I ain't going to say, come on now. I ain't going to. He trying to he putting that.
What is that? Is that not what he said?
Like, don't be shamed now.
I did.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm fully shamed. I'm fully shamed.
Don't make me misquote you, bro.
No. I have. I've been a part of abortions. It's just the reality. I've been a part of it. And I remember she looked at me and she said, "How old are you?" Like literally in the middle of the show. I said 30. She said, "You still have time."
She sure did.
She said, "You still have time," and it's telling because when you have all of this, just pile of shit accumulating that you created and all these things that you're going to have to deal with and face and even think about marriage because this other person has also been accumulating this pile and their bloodlines before them have been accumulating and now it's right here in front of us, right? Is it my responsibility to vet someone as much as I can and their bloodline before I marry them, or is it just more important to focus not so much on vetting them and their bloodline, but making sure I'm covering. I just got to assume it's all hell and put myself in position to break all those curses. What's more, is there a more important?
Yeah. So let me say this. I've also had abortions, right? That's what makes my testimony, I think, so powerful is that I got saved. This time I decided to take the pill instead of laying on the table.
Wow.
So I was just sitting Indian style in the shower while letting the clock pass. Yeah. It was so ridiculous. Yeah, so you're not talking to some. I think the beauty in this.
I feel better.
Don't feel better.
No. A lot of people can.
But I think the beauty in this is that, you know, you feel shame because you're like, dang, what did I do? But you're talking to somebody who has gone through it, overcame it. You're talking to somebody who literally has the blood washed it away. Like, I have no residue of it on my life. God sanctified me from it. He forgave me from it. And also gave me the revelation and tools to help a generation out of that blood covenant. Because I'm thinking it's not a big deal. Like, we all think it's not a big deal. With that being said, can I give another analogy? I love analogies.
Yeah, of course.
I love analogies.
You asked me a question and you said, does it matter who I date? Should I really focus on that or just assume? Well, I'm going to give an analogy. If somebody lived in Alaska and they left their door open at night, what could come in the door?
A polar bear.
Good.
How did you know that?
A penguin.
A moose.
Oh, anything.
A moose.
Right.
Okay. If you lived in New Orleans and you went to sleep at night in the swamps and you went to sleep, what could come in at night?
Gator.
Perfect.
A robber.
If you lived in New York City and you left the door open at night in the projects, what could come in?
Yeah, a thief.
A gangster.
Right. A rat the size of a cat.
Rat.
Right.
Yeah. For sure. Roaches. If you lived in Nigeria and you left your door open at night, what could fly in? A mosquito with malaria.
Yes.
A
mosquito with malaria.
Okay. Now, what's powerful about this is all these places had the same sin. So all these women you date might have the exact same sin. Stick with me. But depending on the region they lived in, depended on what came through that door.
Wow.
So you asked me a question and you said, does it matter who I date? And the answer is everybody you date can have the exact same sin, but it depends on where they came, what bloodline they came out of, depends on what comes through that door.
Oh, and you never know what it might be.
You never know, but you do know if you got the Holy Ghost. Mm. The Holy Spirit, who is the revelator, he reveals all things. The beauty about being saved is really, there's Christians with power and there's Christians without power. Christians without power don't read their Bible, don't know the authority that they carry. It's basically like somebody died, left you an inheritance, and you don't know it. So you're still poor when you have an inheritance. A Christian with power has a V8 engine. I know nothing about cars. Super fast car, has the works, great tires, fast. Christian without power has a car with no tires. So both of these are cars. They identify as cars. One can go fast, perfect condition. Another one can't go anywhere. Mm. You get my analogy?
Yes.
Yeah. No, okay. I get it.
So when we're talking about this lineup, I have no idea why I gave you that analogy. I think you asked me a question that I now forgot about. But when you talk about the relationships, depending on where these women came from or men, depends on what's in that bloodline. If you are a Christian without power, you are powerless to stop it. Now, the Holy Ghost will reveal to you what's in these bloodlines. That's the purpose of it. The Bible says that the God of this world, lowercase g, is the devil, which means that by nature of being on the earth, you are already at a disadvantage as a Christian. All demons are headed at your head to try to stop everything that you're doing. You're at a disadvantage. The reason we now not need to get out of the natural and start operating in the supernatural is to get an advantage on things that the other world doesn't know about. So with that being said, the Holy Spirit will then start to reveal to you through dreams, through visions, through conversations, through confirmations, what this girl is into. Because he doesn't want anything to fly under your radar.
Right.
You're never under the radar. You are, however, if you keep putting your dick in everybody that's not supposed to be in, you're going to be blinded. Now you dick dumb.
Is dick not a curse?
Dick dumb is not a curse. Dick is not a curse.
Okay, I'm going to fire off now.
No, you're not. You're not.
Don't get him started?
Nah.
Dick is not a curse.
Tiffany, you my favorite.
Thank you.
Yeah,
no,
you
honestly,
my favorite.
First of all.
We done had hell of esteemed, awesome guests. And you are already my favorite.
Thank you.
Honestly,
that's good.
First of all, I'm about to crack that thing open, and I'm going back in the Bible.
Yeah.
I'm going back.
Honestly, it's such a great book. Who needs gossip when you have the Word of God? It's so, you're like, this is so good. This is so good. The Bible is so good.
It does hit, and it relieves hella anxiety.
Honestly.
Yeah.
But hold on. We ain't done with this.
Wait. Before you dive in, because speaking of good books,
okay.
Right? So you talk about the good book, but we got another good book, which is your book. So, guys, we talked about giving something very special to our initiates. So, we actually giving away 3 signed copies of Tiffany's upcoming book. And the book is coming out.
Yes, April 25th.
April 25th. So, guys, I'm literally dropping that in the chat right now. The crazy thing is we got over 4,000 people live in the chat. Tyshawn, I didn't even know that.
Insane.
Over 4,000 people live. This is dope. So, this is the thing. 3 books for 4,000 people, I don't really think is enough. I'm willing to increase that 3 to 10. But, Tyshawn, what can we do?
Honestly, this is what, we gotta do. What we need to do is we need to at least get 1,500 likes on this episode right now.
We got to go a little harder, guys. I just dropped the link in there. The link is in the chat, in the description, and in the comments, guys. If we get 500 registrants, I will personally make sure that we get 10 signed copies sent to you guys. 10. Tasha, I'm going to break the bank for this one.
Let's do it.
Tiffany, we got you. We're supporting the campaign, okay. Tiffany.
Because first of all, I already know, if we just covering this in conversation, I can already imagine what's in that book. So first of all, two of them books of that. This is the 8. There's two of them for us.
Right. No, seriously, though. We got to get 500 registrants for the giveaway, and I will announce 10 winners at the end of the show. If we don't get 500, we only going to do 3.
And it's in the description, guys. It's in the description. We talking covenants tonight, y'all. Tiffany Montgomery has come on here and really broke down some covenants that many of us might be facing. And it seems like these covenants are so easy to fall into. And many of us may not even know it. In some ways, our culture even makes it easy to get. Like, honestly, getting an abortion just ain't even so bad.
They don't think so.
You know, and in fact, we're kind of fighting to make sure we can steal.
Isn't that crazy? You know, let me tell you what's crazy about that. You know, they have the argument that a baby is not a living thing in the stomach, right? The womb. However, when you look at the book of Luke chapter 1, and the angel told Elizabeth that she was pregnant with John, the angel told her while John was in her stomach, this, call him John, he is going to do this. He is going to be filled with the Holy Ghost while he is in your womb, right? Like, he laid out John's whole life purpose. He said he will never touch drink. He will never drink alcohol. He will never cut his hair. Like, there was his whole life laid out while he was in the womb. So here we have an example of this baby who is filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother womb. And we still, as Christians and believers, want to have the argument that a baby is nothing until it's actually out and air, which is super ridiculous to me. Also, with that being the case, you talked about politics and even some of your stupid churches saying that they should have the right for women's rights and they want to fight for women's rights. And the fight for women's rights is the goal to kill babies. Now, here's the thing. When you talk about powers and wickedness in high places and spiritual wickedness in high places and the powers that be in politics, well, guess what? They believe in the spiritual world very much so. They believe in altars. They believe in covenants. They believe in Freemasonry, all your fraternities, sororities, all of that stuff is incredibly demonic.
Oh my God.
We're going to go there. And so with that being said, these people's gods need a sacrifice. It has to be sacrificed. This is why it's not just about women's rights. They have tricked a generation of believers to think that we're fighting for women's rights, but what they're really doing is fighting to feed their God, which needs more blood. This is why it's like our politics have a Herod spirit, H-E-R-O-D. That's the person that tried to kill Jesus. What he said was, I need all of the babies under the age of 2 to be slaughtered because there is a king coming. I just don't know where he is. Mm-hmm. That's because the devil is not all knowing. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He doesn't know everything, but he is very spiritual. He understands that something is coming. He even tried to trick the wise men and said, hey, I have a gift for this baby too. Can you show me where they are? Thankfully, the wise men had a dream. And so did Joseph, and they were able to run until they had safety. But he knew that a savior was coming. He just couldn't identify who it was. And so that's just like in our generation. Moses was a deliverer, right? We have a lot of people in the Bible who ended up delivering nations. And in our generation, there's a deliverer that's going to be born. And the politics say, let's just call it women's rights. And this will blind the nation into to agreeing with us to kill the person that's going to cure cancer. It's going to cause this generation to agree with us to kill the person that's going to bring revival to a nation, that's going to bring surplus and prosperity to a nation, that's going to save your child. We want to kill that person. We don't know who it is. So let's just start advocating for the right to kill all babies all over the world. And let's just trick all of the believers to join in with it. How stupid.
That's the Democrats. All y'all who go to vote and just check on D all the way from the top to bottom.
All the blue.
D.
But no, this is and see, it's so clever too. They literally mask it and calling it women's rights.
It's great marketing.
So check it out. I actually walk down the Beltline frequently, and when I walk down, there's always these people raising money on the side. Literally, the way that they get you pulled in, they say, "Hey, do you believe in women's rights?" That's literally how they started. It's like,
who's gonna say no to that?
That's right.
Who's gonna say? say no to do you believe in women's rights, but women's rights is literally just a masquerade for what you're speaking on here. So when women even say stuff like my body, my choice, which honestly, you know, it sounds like they just want to not be controlled. That in itself also is a part of that whole charade is what you're
communicating. But then we got to remember, we're talking about Christians and non-Christians. So when they say my body, my choice, they mean that, right? But when I say my body, my choice, God lets me know that my body is his temple, right? It's his. It was bought with a price. So I can't do with my body that which I choose. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I should have sex outside of marriage. I feel like I should have a boy. I feel like I should do what the world does. It doesn't, I don't have the law book, the rule book tells me I can't do that. So that's the difference. Everybody aren't Christians. And I don't expect people who aren't Christians to live by Christian principles. I do, however, expect believers who live by Christian principles to fight for the right for babies to be born, especially when you now have this revelation that these politics and spiritual wickedness in high places are really only there to service their altar who's requiring blood this year. And the way they require blood is to create a law to kill as many babies as possible because they know a deliverer is coming.
Damn. Guys, here's what we about to do.
Hotline, please.
It's about that time to pop off the initiation hotline. And here's what I want for this one. I need y'all to be brief and brilliant. It's a lot of people in here. When I say brief and brilliant, I know you want to come up here and give Tiffany your whole life story.
Please don't.
I know you want to come up here and tell us all that you done been through these last 10 years.
Not going to be able to do it.
But I literally just need you to, anybody that's struggling with any one of these covenants that we talking about, I need you to come up here and give a question so Tiff can give you some game and break this down. So what we're going to do is we're going to drop in the chat the link for you to come backstage. I need you to turn your camera on. I need you to put your mic on. And I need you to be ready to come up on the show. So go ahead. The link is going to be there. Ryan, let me know when the link is there.
Just drop the link, guys. And don't forget, I'm also got to drop the giveaway link again because we're running a giveaway until the very end of the show. But I have to leave the video call-in link pinned for you guys to get quick access to it. So if you need the giveaway link, all you got to do is just look in the chat somewhere, scroll up a little bit, or go to the description. It says giveaway has the link because we are giving away at least a minimum of 3 signed copies of Tiffany Montgomery's upcoming book, April 25th, Year of the Bride.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I love it.
So we're going to go ahead. I want my people to go backstage. I want you to, again, only if you feel like you are dealing with a covenant and you have a question specific to that, no statements, please, people, follow instructions, all right? Check it out. Before we get into it, I want y'all to go ahead and pile up backstage. But I want to get into this because you mentioned it. So while people are going backstage, I have to ask this question here because you made a powerful statement. You mentioned there's these other things that's popping off. I think you threw out Freemasonry, you threw out sororities, you threw out fraternities. It's very, look, you talking to 4,000 black folks. And one thing we do is I'm going to start with the sororities and fraternities. We respect our sororities and our fraternities.
Yeah, you'll fight for them more than you fight for God. I see it all the time.
Some of our greats even came out of...
Well, you consider them greats, but...
I would say, I mean, we in Atlanta, right? MLK, he's all over the place. Brother came out of a fraternity, right? What do you think about that? And what does that even mean to be a part of one of these organizations?
Yeah. So again, when we go back to the conversation of covenants, and this is what I want everybody to do. Obviously, people who are in these organizations, even if they identify themselves as Christians, have made the organizations an idol that has become idolatry. The reason you say that is because the Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, you shall not serve any other God. You shall not make oaths, pronouncements, or vows to any other God. And if you do that, here's the list of curses that's going to come upon you. Now, many people will argue with me and say, Tiffany, curses don't exist anymore in the new covenant because according to Galatians 3:13, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. But if that's the case, in the book of Deuteronomy, he talks about the curse of inflammation. How many people you know deal with inflammation?
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Many.
Many. He talks about the curse of hemorrhoids, which we think are hemorrhoids, but they're actually tumors that are incurable.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Cancer. Right. Wow. So here you have a generation of people who are arguing with you saying there's curses don't exist. But in the old covenant, it says inflammation, tumors that can't be cured, and a host of other things that we still would deal with today. On top of the fact that curses is still used even in the new covenant, the word curse is even still used in the new covenant. With that being said, what was your question again? I was getting somewhere. Tell me.
Going to the sororities.
And okay. Thank you. Because I want them to hear me, right? I can say something that'll piss everybody off, and that's not my goal inherently, because then you can't hear me anymore.
Right.
With that being said, I would say everybody that's in a sorority and a fraternity has made that their idol. It has made that their comfort. It's made that their open door. It's made that what they rely on. It's what they use as a crutch. God is out of the picture, even if they identify as a Christian. Now, the goal I want everybody to do, since most people join the fraternity or sorority 20, 10, 15 years ago, right? I want you to go back to the declaration you made. I want you to go back to the oath, the vow, and the pronouncements that you made when you got there. I want you to open up the Bible, and I want you to read them side by side. And I want you and your Holy Ghost, you say you have, the Spirit of Truth, to judge and say honestly, the pronouncements I made with this organization should have only been made to God. And only if you have the Spirit of Truth and not the Spirit of error or the Spirit of offense, because you're not offended with me, you're offended with God, that you will say, I am not only going to denounce this sorority in prayer, let heaven and earth record this day, I denounce my affiliation with this sorority and fraternity and this Freemason Association and Eastern Star Association, but I'm also going to write a letter of denouncement. Well, fortunately, there's a generation of people who have been coming out of these organizations of believers, young believers, older believers. After they do what I said, they write out, they pull out what they vowed 20 years ago. They pull out the Bible and say, oh my gosh, I made a vow to an organization that I should have only made to God, right? They've been coming out. Well, recently the organizations have started to say, you can denounce, but you have to agree to these rules. You have to agree to never talk bad about us. You have to agree to never say what your process was in getting here, right? Now they're trying to put this requirement for you to, they're trying to make it very hard for you to denounce. And I don't think that God wants you a part of any organization that's going to make it very hard for you to denounce. That's not God, right? That's not the nature of God. Also, I was fair to say 99.999% of y'all got jumped in like a dummy.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
Let's just be true. Dummy. Yeah.
I got hazed up.
Just dumb. It's dumb. Damn.
I wouldn't haze. So, and I'm just saying,
we're going to call that thing a thing. It's dumb. Yeah. And to think that that's God, that's what I'm going at. You identify as a believer. I'm not saying you do, but I'm just going with the hazing part of it. And you want me to believe that your God, my God, Elohim, said that you should get hazed to be into this organization that you made an oath, a vow, and a pronouncement that only should have been made to God. And you want me to believe that this is God. It's not. God would never do that to you. God would never get you jumped in. God would never. I've heard the hazing stories, both on the men and women's side. It's not God. And now they're trying to make it impossible for you to get out of it. That's not God. The devil does that, but God doesn't do that because I'm a fruit inspector. So you can't tell me, I don't care how much they do for the community. Well, we give a lot to the community. We give a lot to the poor. So do drug dealers. Frank Lucas did it. What drug dealer don't give away turkeys on Thanksgiving? What drug dealers don't give away toys and stuff on Thanksgiving? They do it all the time. That's why the neighborhood loves, the community loves them, right? That doesn't matter. Your giving doesn't matter. Who cares that you are trying to cover up the oath and the vow and the covenant you broke to God up with a few turkeys? You are a turkey.
Hold on, y'all.
Hotline bling.
We got some people backstage here. Y'all, right. Literally.
We got a whole bunch of Kappas, AKAs, and Deltas right. calling in right now for you two.
And just so you know, guys, it's full backstage right now. Like, yeah. The backstage is packed, so you can't come back here right now.
Brief and brilliant.
And listen,
guys. You
got to
be brief and you got to be brilliant.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards is the one-stop shop for huge savings on new energy-efficient appliances. We carry the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards. Save.